praise you.
Worship him.
Hallelujah.
That's our purpose in life, is to praise him, to worship him, to lift him up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we recognize that's our purpose. We are created to worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. So good to see everybody here in the house of God this morning. Amen. A beautiful spirit, worship and praise. We've come to worship Him, haven't we? Amen. And when we worship Him, amen, He inhabits the praises of His people. And He does great things and wonderful things for us. We have some needs that we are praying for. And we'll make them known at this time. Sister Bowman is needing a touch of healing. She was hospitalized. She is home now, needs some adjustment of medications, etc. Pray that God will give her strength and restore her to health. Brother Murphy had successful knee replacement surgery on Thursday and is recovering well. We'll be home tomorrow, but there's a healing process of time that we need prayers for that healing, that God will restore the use of that knee, amen, to like new. Also, Sister Murphy had a bereavement in her family. A cousin passed away suddenly. She has to be at a funeral for that tomorrow. We pray for her family that God will give them comfort at this very important time in their life. And we also continue to pray for Kahila Moo, that God will touch her, give her healing and deliverance. Let's believe God for her, that God will restore her to health. Praise God. If you have a need this morning, lift a hand to the Lord and express that. Amen. And think about it and let Him know that you're still trusting and believing, and He will answer. We will come before you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be here in the house of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Oh, God, your love, dear God, that was unlimited. Lord, you gave your all. You gave your life. Praise God. Amen. That we might be saved. Lord God, as the blood of the Lamb many years ago, amen, overshadowed the people of Israel, and they were spared the death, dear God, of the death angel that came to Egypt. So likewise, Lord, your blood covers us. It's on what we say is the doorposts of our hearts, dear God. Amen. And you now will give us eternal life when you come, Lord God, to take a church out of this world. We can be a part of that bride of Christ that's going to rise to meet you in the air. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord Jesus. And thank you now, dear God, for all that you provide for us. Lord, you said if we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, all of the things that we need for successful living in this life will be granted to us. We pray for these healings that we need right now. I ask in Jesus' name for Sister Kahila. Lord God, touch her, Lord, and deliver her and give her healing, I pray, and make a way for her. We pray, Lord God, for Sister Bowman, that you will restore her to health and strength so that she can be here in the house of God worshiping with us. We pray for Brother Murphy, oh God, the healing of that knee. We thank you, Lord, for the successful surgery, and we thank you for the expertise, amen, of the surgeons. But, oh God, all healing is from you. And now, Lord, we ask you to speed that healing process, amen, that he can be healed in Jesus' name. We pray for comfort, dear God, for Shander's family. Be with them, Lord God, at the time of this loss in their life. Give them the comfort that only you can give. Lord Jesus, we thank you, amen, for your love to us again. Lord, every need that was expressed with an upraised hand here today, oh, Savior divine, as we think about those needs, as we think about unsaved loved ones, as we think about needs, Lord, that we have perhaps materially, Lord, socially, financially, whatever that need may be, a healing touch in our bodies, amen, you are our God, amen, and we find it all in you, and we'll trust you and believe you in Jesus' name. Bless as we continue this worship this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated as the children come to sing at this time. Amen. Did I jump the gun on you? But you'll take it after.
All right. Everybody's excited to be here this morning. I woke up this morning and I was just feeling so thankful for everything that God has done for me. And I asked someone to read a verse for us. It's Psalms 150 and the first part of verse number 1.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary.
The Bible tells us that we are to praise the Lord every single day. And we are also to praise him in his sanctuary. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to sing the song that says, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Very simple words, most everybody knows. And if any of you want to go to the other side, you want to go over there, sit on the bench over there. We're going to try and split the congregation here. So we're going to start with this side over here. They're all seated up here, but we're going to have them all stand. And I'm going to ask everyone in the congregation that is able or that wants to get some exercise this morning, get the blood pumping, to stand with us. So you'll be the hallelujahs, first of all. So you'll say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You'll be seated, and over here is going to be praise ye the Lord. And then they'll stand. So we're going to go up and down. I've got some helpers down here that'll help you out. So we'll start over here. This side can be seated until we get to praise ye the Lord. You ready? We'll try it, and everyone will figure it out. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. You're doing good figuring this out. Now I'm going to confuse you. And we're going to start over here. You're going to be the hallelujahs, so you'll be the first ones up, and you'll be the praise ye the Lords. You think you got it? Okay, they said yes, they do. You ready? Everyone on this side stand.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. See the Lord.
Oh, sounds good.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Everyone can stand.
Praise ye the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I pray that every day you will thank the Lord for something he has done for you. Even on those hard days, Monday mornings when you have to get up and go to school, starting to get darker in the morning, harder to roll out of bed. But there's something we can thank God for every single day. So you do that this week and find someone to invite to come to Sunday school next Sunday with you. God bless you. Have a great week.
I got my blood pumping. I'm ready now for the rest of the service. In way of announcements, just so you know, we have new church cards. So we have them not only in English, but we also have them where they're in English and in Spanish. So if you're wanting to pass them out and you're like, I don't know, speak in Spanish, or they're speaking English and I speak Spanish, well, it doesn't matter. We have it right here for you to be able to pass out. They're right in the back. If you don't see them there, ask one of the ushers. They'd be more than happy to get you them. So be sure to get some after church and pass them out. Invite some people to Sunday school. Amen. For those who are involved with the percussion players, those practices will be October 4th and the 11th, Wednesday after service. All those who are interested in playing percussion in the Christmas band, if you have further questions, see Sister Plappert. We also have Apostolic Man Fall Retreat. The Minnesota District Apostolic Man is holding their third annual Men's Fall Retreat at Camp Galilee, the 6th and the 7th of October. Brother Durance of California is coming down to minister. To register, just go to Eventbrite. It's $45 online and $55 at the door. So go online, get it done. Go and have an awesome time at Apostolic Man. And then Pentecostal Heritage Hymn Sing. Everybody go, Oh, that's beautiful. You should join in and be there at October the 13th. It's a Friday night at 7:30 for a hymn sing. So there will be specials and congregational hymns, lifting up the Lord, and refreshments will be following the service. Everybody say, amen. Refreshments, yes, refreshing. And then last but not least, all of those who are here, there is a wedding celebration. Apostolic Bible Church is invited to meet and greet with soon-to-be Andrew and Heather Reese to celebrate their marriage, which is on October the 14th. But on October the 28th, there will be a meet and greet from 1 to 5 p.m. in the chapel on that day. And if you would like to see the ceremony, it's being live streamed October the 14th at 3 p.m. And the link for the streaming is at reesewedding.com. So join in celebrating with them, and God bless you. At this time, we're going to receive our tithe and offering as an act of worship unto God. Amen. God bless you.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
I have a loving mother up in the glory land.
I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting out for me in heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Just up in glory land,
we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know
I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Just want to welcome John Rednor from Florida. He's an ABI class of 2074, and so we're very happy to have you here this morning with us, as a guest with us this morning worshiping. It's also good to see my parents, my mom and dad, and also my grandma, Grandma Short on my mom's side, and it's good to have them here this weekend and visiting. And in case you haven't heard yet, I'm getting married in less than 2 weeks. And so I'm excited about that. And I just wish I could invite everyone to the wedding. Heather and I would love for every one of you to be able to be a part of that. But unfortunately, we can't invite everybody to our ceremony. So we are going to have a meet and greet on the 28th of October, Saturday afternoon. And we would love to have all of you there and come and celebrate with us that day. If you are interested in watching the ceremony, you can go to reesewedding.com, and there is a live stream. Some of you have been asking about whether we're able to do that, and so we are able to do that. And so the information is in the bulletin. And I just want to thank everyone also for just helping and offering your help to just make this this time in our lives just a memorable time and exciting time, and just can't wait. And we're looking forward to it. But if we could take our Bibles this morning, We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 2. Amen. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 23 through 25. And it says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." If we could close our eyes and bow our heads once more. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you just speak to us this morning through the word that you have laid upon my heart and you have written in Scripture, Lord. Lord, as we go through this story, I just ask that you just speak to every single one of us, Lord. Lead us and guide us, Lord, through your Scriptures and through this narrative that you have given us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you just minister to us, Lord, in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. In amen, amen. You may be seated. This portion of Scripture that we just read is in Exodus, which is the exiting of Egypt. It's the story of them leaving. And this is the story of the Israelites that were in Egypt as they were about to leave. But before they left, the Bible says that they were in bondage and they cried out to God. It was the king of Egypt, or the Pharaoh of that time, where the king of Egypt decided to enslave all of the Israelites that were there. It came at a very high cost to the Israelites, because the Israelites should not have been in Egypt at that time. The reason that they were in Egypt was because during the time of Joseph, there was a great famine in the land, and Joseph was one of the rulers in Egypt and invited all of his family, the Israelites, to come to Egypt and to help survive the famine that was taking place in the world at that time. After the famine was over, they should have probably headed back home to the land of Canaan, or the Promised Land, which is what the Word of God also refers to it as. But they didn't. They stayed there in Egypt. And they were enjoying the pleasures of Egypt. And it was through the pleasures of Egypt that allowed them to continue to stay there. They were given some of the best land. They were given tax-free land. They were given a lot of benefits. And the Bible says that the time had passed and the king of Egypt had died. And then all of a sudden another king came into power, and he looks at these individuals and goes, "Well, I think we could get some help out of them." And he enslaves them. He puts them into bondage. And the Bible says that in this bondage, the Israelites, they cried out to God and for the reason of their bondage. And they're looking for help. And God heard their cry. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and he had respect unto them. The Israelites were there in Egypt because of just the things that were happening, and life was just happening, and they were in a place that they should not have been. And because they were staying there and enjoying the pleasures or the comforts or the ease of life, before they knew it, they were entangled and became enslaved in that land. Before they knew it, they were building the empire of Egypt, and as Pharaoh gave direction. And it was Pharaoh that... He didn't really have a place to do it, but he basically just decided that the Israelites were going to be his. He took ownership of them when he didn't have necessarily the right to do that, but he just decided that that's what he was going to do, and he enslaved them, and he put them in bondage. The Bible says that as they were crying out to God, that God heard them, and as they were in their bondage, God heard their cry. So God called a man to help lead them out of that land of Egypt. His name was Moses. And it was through their prayers that that God heard and answered their prayers and sent them a messenger, sent them someone to teach them, sent them somebody to give them a deliverance and hope to get out of their bondage. You could say that God sent them a preacher to be able to give them guidance on how to get out of this entanglement or this enslavement that they had received. Moses was just a man, but he was a man that was being used of God. Moses gave the Israelites specific instructions, instructions that came from God, instructions on what they must do and how they must live and how much and what they have to do to get out of their bondage that they had allowed themselves to get into. Right. And so it was a plan of escape, to escape this Egypt of theirs. They decided that it was time to leave their Egypt. It was time for them to leave this bondage that was holding them back. It was time to leave the thing that was keeping them from progressing in life. It was time to leave the thing that was hurting their family. It was time to listen to this Moses, this man of God that God had sent to them to give them instructions through the word of God on how to leave this Egypt of theirs. The story continues that after Moses spoke to Pharaoh, and it's a fun story to read. There's many passages of scripture throughout this story. It takes quite a while to go through it, but it's a very neat story. And there was these plagues that came to Egypt, and there was and Pharaoh finally said, "Why don't you just get out of here before you destroy us?" Because God was on their side, and so they started to leave their Egypt. And God led them by a cloud during the day and led them by fire by night. And as they were being led away from Egypt, they were into their journey, and God led them to the side of the sea, the Red Sea, the Bible says. And there was mountains to the right, and there was mountains to the left, and there was a sea in front of them. Well, after they had left Egypt, the Egyptians, they started looking around going, "Well, who's going to build this place? And who's going to do all the work?" And probably real similar to when I left home, my parents looked at each other and go, "Well, who's going to do the work around here?" No, I'm sure it wasn't like that. I wasn't in bondage at home. I wasn't enslaved. Well, some days I felt like it, but I wasn't. So you know what I'm talking about. And so they're in this. The Egyptians are looking at each other, going, "Well, who's going to do the work around here?" And they said, "Well, why don't we go and recapture those Israelites?" And so they mounted their horses and they got the army together and they started after the Israelites. And as the Israelites were all excited that they had left. They had left that bondage. They had left that slavery. They had left all of that. And they were all excited, but they were led to this place that there was a sea before them. There was mountains to the right, mountains to the left. And all of a sudden, they start to see that the enemy is coming up behind them. It was the thing that entangled them, the thing that ensnared them, the thing that had enslaved them was coming back up behind them. And they became afraid, the Bible says, and they started to accuse Moses. They started saying, "Moses, what have you done? It would have been better for us to have died in Egypt than to die out here." And so they were sitting there, and they started to grumble, and they started to complain. They say, "What are we do? Why did we leave our Egypt? Why did we leave this Egypt if we're going to be out here and now we're stuck in this mountain pass and there's nothing but water before us and the thing that we left, the Egypt that we left is right coming up behind us. Why?" And they started to complain. And the Bible starts to tell how Moses went to the word of God, or went to God, and God gave him a word for the people. And Moses came back to the people and he said, "Just continue to have faith. Continue to trust God. Continue to stay strong." And it took a preacher in their life to just say, "Just hang in there. Stay strong. Don't give up. This Egypt might be creeping up behind you, but it's okay. Just be patient. Just wait, because the Lord is going to provide for us." I can only imagine what the children were thinking, or what the children were asking their parents. Children can sometimes ask some of the most interesting questions. Children have a way of seeing the world from a perspective that adults don't always see in the moment. But I just wonder what type of questions that the children were asking the parents in this moment. Dad, why did we leave Egypt? Dad, what are we going to do? Dad, we can't swim. Dad, what's going to happen when they get here? The questions. Questions that maybe a father doesn't always have for a son. Questions that a mother can't always answer a daughter. But the questions being asked. But it took a preacher to say, hang on, folks. Just be patient. God has brought us this far. God is going to continue to bring us further. Don't give in now. Don't turn in now. And all they could do was rely on the word of God being preached in their life. Saying, son, daughter, I don't fully understand what's going to happen here. But what I do understand is we just need to keep trusting the word of God. The word of God has been given to us, and we've been told to be patient and to be wait. And we have to just trust the Lord. We have to just rely on what God has given us. And in that moment, the Bible says that God took the pillar of fire, and he moved to behind the people to protect them. So now they got water before them. They got a mountain to the right and to the left. And now they have God standing behind them. God has their back. And as Egypt was coming up behind them, God was there to protect them. Amen. The children might have been asking, now what? Parents are going, I have no idea. But obviously God is providing for us in this moment. Yes, right. We don't know the next step. But we do know God took care of us in this step. Yeah. And as they're standing there in that moment, Moses stretched forth his rod out over the water. And the Bible says that the water was divided. And that land appeared. And it was dry land. And so the Israelites, they started to walk on dry land across. And I always imagined what that'd be like, walking through water like that. And always, you know, I'd seen cartoons and things where you know, the fish would come swimming up and you could see them like an aquarium, you know? I don't know if that was the case or not. I wasn't there. The Bible doesn't give the specifics on it. But the Bible does say that in that moment, when they were in a time of where they couldn't go to the right or left, God was protecting them and God provided a path before them. Amen. And so they started to take that path and they started to walk. And I can just imagine the families walking hand in hand through the Red Sea. And as they're walking through the Red Sea, the little son is looking up at the dad going, this is awesome. You're right, Dad. We should just trust God. You're so smart, Dad. We should just keep following the word of the Lord. And as they are going through, they get to the other side. And as they turn around, the Bible says that God removed that pillar of fire. And all of a sudden, that Egypt came up behind them. Those that kept them in bounds came running up, coming, chasing after them. And the Bible says that as they were in the midst of the sea, that their chariot wheels started to get stuck in the mud. And before they know it, it started to create a little bit of havoc as they're trying to get across these Egyptians. The Israelites made it to the other side. And as Moses stretched forth his hand again, the waters came crashing in. And the water says that the waters washed them and drowned all of the armies of Egypt. Now what? They make it to the other side. And they're sitting there. And they're looking. And one by one, the realization started to sink in with each and every one of them. The very thing that kept them bound, the very thing that enslaved them,
was now washed away. And as they were sitting there, maybe the little kids were asking the parents, what's this mean? What's happening? And the father and mothers are going, I don't fully know. But what I do know is that we are not connected to that Egypt anymore. This water has washed us, or washed that bondage away. This water has taken away the very thing that enslaved us. It was this. It was the water that has created a barrier. And so what did the Bible says what they started to do? It says they started to dance, and they started to rejoice, and they started to praise God, and they started to sing. Why? Because they were excited for what God had done for them. There's times we see people jumping up and down in church. Why? Because they're excited for what God has done for them. There's times we see people that feel like running all around. Why? Because they feel like excitement, because they're happy for what God has done for them. What's interesting is just a few days into their journey past the Red Sea, they start to complain. The Bible says. The Bible says that they start to murmur and they start to grumble. And they start to accuse Moses for bringing them out there. Because they just like, well, we're going to die out here. And havoc started to get created. And concern was developing. But it took a preacher to straighten them back out. It took a message from the Word of God to straighten them back out. It took the Word of God being planted in their hearts to be able to straighten them back out, to bring stability back into their life. It took encouragement saying, don't give up. You just stay with the faith. God will provide. Don't you remember what He did when He got us out of that Egypt? Don't you remember when He protected us from the armies? Don't you remember what He did in the Red Sea? So don't give up. God will provide the next step. Amen. So God introduced the law to them. The Bible says that God gave them the Ten Commandments, and you can read about it in Exodus chapter 20. Moses went up onto Mount Sinai. God gave him 10 basic commandments for living. Because without law, chaos happens. And these guys needed some direction. These Israelites needed some direction. There was a little chaotic happening, and they were needing a new way to live, and they needed new guidance because they were in something that they've never experienced before. All they knew was bondage. All they knew was slavery. All they knew was building bricks and building buildings and building walls, and that's all they knew. And God had to teach them. God had to give them instructions on how to live. God had to give them the law, the Ten Commandments. And as they continued to go through, as they were walking through the wilderness, as they were headed to this promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that belonged to them, as they were on their way to the land of Palestine, they knew it was going to be a journey. The Bible says that the Lord guided them with a cloud. They had to follow that cloud. They had to follow the leading of that cloud. Wherever the cloud went, they went. Whenever the cloud stopped, they stopped. It was God directing them step by step. They had never been in that area before. They'd never been in this wilderness before. But God knew. God knew which turn they should take. God knew what direction they should go. God knew where they should head next. And as they followed the cloud, God directed them step by step. And then there came a moment as they were just living life, just walking through the wilderness, as they were just in the daily routine. They started to think back about the gardens that were back in Egypt. They started to think about the good things back in Egypt. And the Bible says they started to miss Egypt. The Egypt that they had left. The Egypt that enslaved them. The Egypt that had put them in bondage. the Egypt that had pulled them into slavery, the Egypt that entangled them. They started to miss, the Bible says. They started to miss it. They didn't miss the slavery, obviously, but they missed the better food that was in Egypt. Food will get us every time, folks. And the Bible says that they started to grumble and complain again. And they started to have desires to go back to their old ways. They started to desire to just throw in the towel and head back to what they knew. They didn't know what was right around the corner. They had to follow God, the cloud. But they knew the path back that was familiar with them. And they started to think about all the fun and the enjoyments and the pleasure. But they forgot about the cost of that pleasure. And so they started to consider going back. And it was their Moses, their pastor, that stepped forward and said, "Hey, folks, God has brought us a long way. Don't go back. Don't go back." And there was a message from God that was given to them that said, "Don't go back to that Egypt. Don't go back to that place. Don't go back to the place that enslaved you. Don't go back to where those pleasures are, because it was those pleasures that entangled you. Don't go back. You might miss the food, you might miss those pleasures, but just continue to trust the Lord. The Lord has provided this far, this way. God is leading us and guiding us. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep pressing on." And it was a preacher that preached to them. And they listened. And they continued on. And while they were living life and as they were walking through, they started wondering about where we're going to get the next supply of food. They started to doubt their own abilities. And it took a preacher to say, "Trust the Lord, He'll provide." Well, we don't know where our next meal is going to come from. God will supply. We don't know where the next substance is going to come from. God will supply. We don't know we're going to get our next drink of water. God will supply. Guess what? The Bible says God supplied. He supplied it. Every single day, He let manna fall from heaven. And every single day, they had to go out and collect that food. Every single day, they had to go out and collect the food and get exactly the amount that they needed. God didn't spoon feed them. God said, "Well, you got to go pick it up now." They had to go out and get it. If they wanted to survive, they had to go get it. If they wanted to fulfill that hunger that was in their stomach, they had to go do it. And they had to go collect the food every single day. If they wanted to have nourishment in their body, they had to do it every single day. And every single day, the Bible says God supplied it, that need. God gave them that bread of manna from heaven every single day. They were just going through the wilderness and just living life. But these were real feelings they had. These were real concerns they had. And before they knew it, they were standing on the border of their promised land. Before they knew it, they were almost home. Before they knew it, they were about to step foot into that promised land, into the land of Palestine, in that land that God had promised them, in that land flowing with milk and honey. Before they knew it, they were right there. And they could look back and they could see it just took one step one day, another step the next day, another step the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It might not have been the most fun and most luxurious lifestyle, but they continued to trust God. And God provided for them every day. And God led them every day. And God directed them every day. And every single day, they listened to the word of the Lord. And every single day, they fed themselves with manna. And every single day, they just continued to press forward further and further and further. And before they knew it, they were standing at the edge of their promised land. That's the story that we read in Exodus. It's the story we read it actually in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And as we look at this story, we can see ourselves in this story. We can see a sinner sitting in this world called Egypt, just enjoying the pleasures of this world, just enjoying the luxuries of this world, enjoying the ease of this world, enjoying all the pleasures that this world has to offer. It wasn't something a sinner planned to do. It wasn't something a sinner wanted to do. But all of a sudden, it was just something that realized that they were entrapped, entangled in the pleasures of this world. And this world became a taskmaster to them. And Satan claimed them as his own, even though he didn't have a right to do that. And Satan started to use them and abuse them. And it was Satan that starts to bind a sinner up. And before you know it, the sinner finds himself not knowing what to do, where to go. They were just trying to have some fun. Paul instructed the church in Romans chapter 6. Paul was speaking to them saying, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Paul was saying, if you're a servant unto sin, it's going to lead to death. If you're obedient unto righteousness, it's going to lead to life. Paul was saying, sin will bind you. Sin will become your taskmaster. Sin will wrap you up before you know it. You're in so much bondage and you're in so much turmoil and you're in so much entanglement that you just don't know what to do. And if you're a servant to sin, that makes sin the taskmaster or the master. If an individual's sinning, the sinner becomes the servant. And it means that the sin has rule over them. The next verse, verse 17. "But God be thanks that you were the servant of sin," past tense, "but ye have obeyed from the heart that from of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became a servant of righteousness." Sin will entangle us. Sin, which is disobedience to the commandments of God, will enslave us. It is sin that will destroy us. And Paul was telling the church that if you're obedient to sin, it's going to lead to death. But if you're obedient to righteousness, it's going to lead to life. And we once were sinners, but not anymore, because we believe the doctrines which were delivered unto you. We believe the teachings of the Word of God which was delivered unto you. It was the Word of God. It was a message from a messenger. It was the message from God that gave us deliverance from that sin. Amen. I am so thankful for the preached Word of God. I am so thankful for the preached Word of God. I am so thankful for preachers that have been in my life all through the years. I am so thankful for listening to the good teaching. I love the teaching that comes through in this church. We loved having all the teachers that come through the Bible college and listening to their teaching and listening to their preaching. and even this teaching that Brother Grant has been doing on Wednesday nights through the book of Corinthians on Wednesday nights, it's been wonderful. It's just been wonderful. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to have a preacher in my life that can share with me the truths of God, share with me the message from the Word of God, share with me a message from God for my life. Because it is through the deliverance or delivering of the doctrine that is going to bring salvation unto us. It is through the preaching that set the Israelites free. And it's through the preaching that will set us free. And sinners all of a sudden find themselves entangled in this world of sin, not knowing where to turn until they hear the preaching of the Word of God. So they decide to turn their back on their sin. It's called repentance. They decide to turn their back on this world, this Egypt, the thing that kept them bound. They decide to leave the Egypt. And it's a decision to follow after Christ. It's a decision to have faith in God. Sometimes we find ourselves in impossible situations. And it seems like we just nowhere to go, but if you just continue to have faith in God, and if you continue to follow after the message that God has provided for us, we will continue to be leaving our Egypt. We will continue to be leaving the Egypt of this world. Oftentimes, we find ourselves, a sinner finds himself between a rock and a hard place. Not quite sure where to go. Not quite sure what to do. All of a sudden beginning to realize, no matter what direction I turn, it just doesn't seem like it's a good path. Like a scenario with mountain to the left and to the right, and all that's before is a lake. And all of a sudden, their past starts to haunt them. Their past of Egypt starts to come after them. The things that entangled them starts to come after them. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And it seems like the easiest way is to go back. Turn back to what they just made the decision to leave. Just a few days into a decision of, I'm going to leave that, the temptation comes back. The temptation of the snares of this world come back. So listen to the message from God. Put a preacher in your life that's going to preach the truth. Study the Word of God so that you know what the Word of the Lord has to say for you. It's going to tell you to keep trusting in Him. It's going to tell you to keep having faith in Him. It's going to tell you that God will not forsake you or leave you. It's going to tell you that God will supply all of your needs according to His riches. And before you know it, you're going to face the waters of baptism. And you're going to get baptized in the name of Jesus. And God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're going to be baptized of the water and of the Spirit. And the Bible refers to this in 1 Corinthians 10 as the baptism unto Moses' baptism in the sea and in the cloud. You go through the water. You get baptized of the water and of the Spirit. And what is an incredible experience through baptism, when you get to the other side of that water, when you come up out of that water, when you start to speak in those new tongues that God has given you, you begin to realize, that all of that past is now separated. The very thing that kept you bound is now washed away. The very thing that held you entangled is now gone. And you start to live a new life. And you start to get excited. And you might start to jump. And you might start to dance. And you might feel like running around, because it's a moment of realization that you don't have to go back to that. Because baptism of the water and of the Spirit separates us from our past. It gives us a brand new start. And rejoicing comes in the Lord. And worship comes in the Lord. And people that come out of the world and they get baptized and they receive the Holy Ghost, all they want to do is just go tell everyone. They just want to go tell everyone what happened and how God has helped them. And life can start to seem a little chaotic. And that's why they need the law of God added into their life. They need the Ten Commandments added in. They need God's principles added in. They need a preacher to listen to. They need a preacher to encourage them. They need a preacher to tell them. And as a sinner is leaving Egypt and entering into a new relationship with God and entering into this walk through the wilderness, they're on this way to this promised land. This promised land, it's called heaven. They're on this way of place of hope. They're on this way headed that direction. But it takes a messenger from God. It takes a message from God. It takes a message from God to teach you and to guide you and to lead you. And they started to get hungry. Our spiritual man starts to get hungry. So we need to feed it. So God will supply us with the manna from heaven. He's not going to spoon feed it to us. But it's up to us to go get it every day, to read the Word every day, to spend time in the Word every day, to study the Word every single day. It's the Word of God that's going to give us that food from heaven every single day. And we will move forward every single day. And every sinner that has come out of this world can give testimony to. There are moments that they start to desire the pleasures of the world. They start to consider going back to the world. They start to consider not following the steps of God because they just have these cravings. They start to miss the pleasures. They start to forget about the bondage, the misery. They start to forget about the entanglement. All they want to do is just go back to those sweet pleasures that was in the world, in their Egypt, the Egypt that they left. But it took a preacher. It takes a preacher. It takes the Word of God to build your faith. It takes the Word of God to solidify it, to build your hope, to build your belief, to build your faith, to build your relationship with God, to remind you that God is going to be there, to remind you that God will never forsake you, to remind you that, hey, you used to be entangled, but now you're not. Hey, you used to be between a rock and a hard place, but God provided the waters of baptism, and God provided the baptism of the Holy Ghost to wash away your past. God gave you an opportunity for a start. And as you read the Word of God, and as you study the Word of God, and as you listen to the Word of God, you start to realize that it's through the Word of God that gives you that faith to keep going. But the desires, they will keep creeping up. And you got to fight it with the Word of God. When you start to crave it, you got to go back to the Word of God. When you start to think about it, you got to go back to the Word of God. It's the Word of God that I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the Word of God. And if you keep pressing forward every single day, if a sinner once was a sinner, once was a slave to this world, now is obedience to righteousness. Keeps step by step, step by step, day by day, day by day. Fathers saying to their kids, I don't know the next step, but we're going to keep following after God. I don't know how this is going to work out, but we're going to keep trusting in the Lord. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that the answer is following after Jesus. This morning, sitting in this congregation, I know that there are many testimonies of this truth. Sitting here this morning, there are individuals that have been enslaved in this world. They have been enslaved in this Egypt. It's not something they planned to do for their life. They were just living life, and you participated in the pleasures, and before you knew it, you realized you were enslaved, entangled. And you found out very quickly that this world is a heavy taskmaster. And this world did not have a whole lot to offer. And sitting here this morning, we can look around and we all look real good and sharp. But we didn't always look like this. We didn't always have this smile on our face. But there was a time that we were enslaved. There was a time that we were entangled in this world. There was a time that we had to make the decision to listen to a preacher. We had to make the decision to listen to the Word of God. There was a time that we had to make a decision to turn our back on that Egypt and to start walking. And we decided to repent, turn our back on that thing that enslaved us. Maybe it was an addiction, drugs, alcohol, smoking. Maybe it was, well, you could just make a list and go on and on. There's so many entanglements of this world. Maybe it was the love of money. You just wanted some money. You didn't realize it was going to enslave you. You just wanted to have some new things. Before you knew it, you got yourself so far into debt, you don't know how to get out. Before you know it, it was just the pleasures of the world that entangled you. And there's testimony after testimony after testimony sitting in this auditorium right now that you made the decision to follow after God. And shortly after making that decision, you probably had some doubts on whether or not you should have done that, made that decision. Because all of a sudden the past started creeping up behind you. And you started to look at the place that you were headed. And you couldn't see it real clearly. And all of a sudden the desires of the world started creeping back in. And the road ahead didn't seem like much. But you were tempted to go back. But we didn't. We didn't. We continued to trust the word of the Lord. We continued to trust the word of the Lord. We continued to trust the word of the Lord. And so we called on the name of God. And we went into baptism and we were filled with the Holy Ghost. We were born of the water and of the Spirit. And before we know it, we all of a sudden had a brand new start. It was like hitting the refresh button. It was like ripping the past of everything behind us and starting brand new. It's called being born again. And we were excited, and we were thankful, and we're happy, and we get excited about it. So we start jumping up and down, and we start praising God, and we start giving Him the glory and the praise, because we now feel free, and we are excited, and we are joyful, and we are happy, and we go and tell everyone, and we are so happy. It's a brand new life. Amen. If we could stand, if the music could come. Testimony after testimony as we go around the room, we could hear everyone's. And they'd be very similar to this. And as we started our new walk of God, with God, we had to have been taught the law. We needed structure, we needed guidance, we needed stability. We needed laws. And we wanted to live a full and successful and a good life. So we applied that law to our lives. We applied this word to our hearts. And as we just live life, and as we just walk through life, Satan shows up every once in a while. And he tempts us to go back. To go back to that Egypt. He won't remind us of the stress He won't remind us of the misery. He won't remind us of all the tears that have been shed. He'll just remind us of the pleasures. And He'll give us temptation to go back. He'll give us temptation to go back to what we came out of. And we'll start to miss the past life. As the preacher this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to press forward. Continue to have faith. God will provide all of your needs according to His riches and blessings. When life gets tough, going back to Egypt is not the answer. Alcohol is not the answer. Drugs are not the answer. Prescription pills are not the answer. Immorality is not the answer. Money is not the answer. But Jesus is the answer. The Holy Ghost is the answer. A relationship with the Word of God is the answer. There's no counterfeit solutions. There are lots of counterfeit solutions on how to get to the promised land. But none of those counterfeits will get us there. There's many paths leading all different directions, but there's only one path. That path is laid out in this word right here. So every single day we need to study this word. Every single day we need to feed our soul. Every single day we need to sit down as a family, read the word of God. Fathers, read the word of God with your children. Please, mothers, you teach your children how to brush your teeth. Teach them how to read the word. Teach them how to pray. All of these counterfeit solutions will not get us to heaven. But Jesus will get you to heaven. The Holy Ghost will get us to heaven. A friendship walking hand in hand with Jesus is going to get us there. And a relationship with this word is going to get us to heaven. There's a lot to be thankful for this morning. There's a lot to be thankful for this morning. So I would like to invite every single one of you to come down around the front here. And we're going to have a time of prayer. And we're going to thank the Lord for what He has done. We're going to thank the Lord for keeping us out of that Egypt. We're going to thank the Lord for bringing us out of that Egypt. I don't know every life situation that is here in this room. But God knows where you're at. God knows where your family's at. God knows where your desires are at. And right now, as the singers start to sing, and as we start to praise God, you can turn to the King of Kings for your answer. You can turn to the King of Kings for your strength. You can turn to the King of Kings and give thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank You so much. We thank You for this opportunity that You've given us, Lord, to be able to hear the word of the Lord this morning, Lord. Lord, we are so glad that You took us out of this Egypt. We are so thankful, Lord, that You have brought us out, Lord. Lord, You've taken us out of the miry clay of this world, Lord. And You've set our feet on a solid rock, Lord. Lord, and as we continue to press through this wilderness of life, Lord, I just ask that You just be with every single individual here, Lord. And be with this congregation, Lord. Be with this church family, Lord Jesus. Lord, You see the needs that are all amongst us, Lord.
day.
I just ask that you bring fulfillment, bring joy, bring peace, Lord.
I've been changed. I have waited for this moment to come, and
yes,
I won't